Our subject today is how to handle difficult people. I'll bet you don't know any, right? I don't know about you, but I've had lots of them in my life. They seem to be plentiful. In fact, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But this is a really important subject because most of us are surrounded with people who are very difficult to handle. Perhaps the difficulty lies in our attempt to try to control them. I'm not just sure, but we'll get to that. The first thing I want you to catch, watch this now on the screen. Difficult people are plentiful. Look here now. Many are the afflictions of people who are doing right. Many are the afflictions. Now, watch this. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now, you cannot have an affliction without an afflictor. Somebody is making bad stuff happen in your life. And there's lots of them. Many are the afflictors and afflictions of people who are trying to do right. But here's the good news. But the Lord promised that he would deliver us from all of them. And so that's our subject today. So let's go back to the intelligent monitor for a moment. Difficult people are usually broken people. Now, I'm going to use a few illustrations. Watch here on the screen with me now. The fool. He's a broken person. You know, Jesus told us never to call a person a fool, even though he might be. There's a big condemnation for that, right? But recognizing somebody who is a fool is really important. But you have to look past their foolishness to see the brokenness that causes the stupidities in their life. In fact, one scripture says, for example, comfort the feeble-minded. If you know somebody who isn't as smart as you in your opinion, and they are quite feeble-minded, don't accuse them. Don't point your finger at them. Don't mock them. Scripture says comfort them because they have a brokenness. Let's look at some more on the intelligence monitor. This, the fool rages. I mean, he's like out of control. But worse than that, maybe, is the fact that he is confident. He's a believer in his stupidities. Oh, my goodness. Then there's the simple people. And they get folly because of the simple-mindedness. And how did they get in this place? Because simple believes everything he's told and never vetting, never verifying, never adjudicating the facts of life. And so he becomes simple. He's got a brokenness behind him. Don't you see that? So difficult people are usually broken people in some ways. Let's take another look here. Angry people, do not be hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Now watch this, because anger rests in the bosom of a fool. It is not smart to be angry, but they don't know any better. In fact, it goes on to say, he that is soon angry, he deals foolishly. He doesn't make right decisions because anger is driving him. And he's now in your life as a difficult person because of that anger. What are you going to do about that? Well, it begins here with understanding that the reason they're angry is that way back inside there's some kind of brokenness. By the way, that's why Jesus Christ is so important. We call him Savior. We call him Redeemer. Why? Because he specializes in fixing what's broke. He specializes in getting rid of what we've done wrong so we can get on the right track again, see? Difficult people are usually broken people. Look here. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. There are people all around us who imagine evil. And the counsels that come from the wicked, that you can't count on them. They're full of deceit. Another type of difficult person is a deceitful person. Then there's those who don't know the difference between right and wrong. Look at the scripture. Woe unto them that call evil good. They don't know right from wrong. That's a severe brokenness. Watch the screen with me again. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They can't tell the difference between right and wrong and what's smart and what's not smart. In fact, they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is a predicament. This is a broken. This is a shattering. This is an internal condition. And no wonder they're difficult when we have to deal with them, because behind a difficult person is usually some brokenness. It goes on to say, watch this. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. They're the narcissist. He thinks he knows it all. And those who are prudent in, look, their own sight, they can't see very far because of the egocentricity is driving them, and so they become competitive in your life. And it's a contest, not of what's right, but who's right. And so it's an ego conflict. Why? Because back of that difficult person is a brokenness. Now, want to be careful, because all we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. We all have. Watch, and that's, in fact, my next point, that we were once broken and difficult as well. Don't you think you were ever difficult to your dad, to your mom, to your siblings, to your brother, sister, to your friends? Don't you think you were ever difficult to your college professor? I think so. Because the truth of it is that once upon a time, all of us had brokenness. But here's the good news now. We used to be broken, and hopefully you've recovered. And if not, I'm certainly glad you're listening today, because we got lots of stuff to help you get rid of your brokenness. That's what Jesus is about. That's what the Bible is about. For example, one scripture says, he sent his word, and his word healed them. An idea from God can come into your mind and fix in a flash, settle an issue. Let me give you an illustration. One of the brokennesses that most people have is what I call a lack of genuine self-acceptance. And when they don't like themselves, they will spend the rest of their lives trying to prove to themselves and others that they really are a somebody. But if you get the truth, what is the truth about you? You see, a father and a mother got together, there was a baby coming. But God is the one who put you inside that baby's body. People cannot make people. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves, says the scripture. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. You are here because God wanted you here. And he has put in you what we call embedded natural abilities. True. But if you don't know this, you can wander through the rest of your life compensating, trying to convince yourself that you're okay, when in fact, you really are. That brokenness has to be fixed. And it's fixed by understanding that you are here by divine purpose. You don't have to prove you're important, because you really are. You really, really are. Now, if you got broken, which most of us have done, that's why Jesus comes along and he says, okay, I'm going to fix this. So everything we've done wrong, and it, you know, Do you understand what's behind most people's intent to self-destruct? They're killing themselves with drugs and alcohol and wrong thoughts, and we have all kinds of self-destructive behaviors going on. Why is that? Because of this brokenness. And that, my friend, is why Jesus came. To get rid of the brokenness and change you forever. Watch now. I mentioned from the monitor, watch here now, that we were once broken, but we're not anymore. And such were some of you. Whoa. Such were some of you. Once upon a time, there was a whole list in front of this. Really bad stuff, right? But you used to be like that, but two things have happened. But now you are washed, and now you are sanctified, and you are justified. Now, watch here, because you really need to grasp this. Washed means the impurities got removed. Ah, no chemical can get rid of the stains on your heart. Only Jesus. And he comes to wash away all the impurities. You're not only washed, but you're sanctified. And what does that mean? It means that you are now endowed with a saintly character. You're a different kind of person now. So changed that now you'll know how to handle difficult people. Watch now. You're washed and sanctified. Such were some of you, but it's not anymore. Now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. And it was done in the name of Jesus. And look at this, by the Spirit of God. The third person of the Trinity is here, functional, active, and he wants right where you are now. In fact, Jesus called him the Comforter, which is somebody who's called alongside to help you. You see, help's not very far away from you. Change is possible because with God, all things are possible, right? So, most people who are difficult have some brokenness, and we too were once broken and thus difficult. But now that we're changed, watch here now. Now we are capable of handling difficult people. Wow. How so? Because the love of God is now shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And now something changed. The old passed away, the new has begun. And what's so new? Here's the difference. We used to live just for our own ego satisfaction, called selfishness. We made every decision based on our highest good, whether it cost the whole universe. Didn't matter to us. Ah, me first. In contrast with that, this change is a change to love. The opposite to selfishness. The opposite to love is not hate. The opposite to love is not hate. The opposite to love is selfishness. Because love is now choosing what is good for other people, including the difficult people. Now we are going to approach the difficult people from a new condition. And that condition is called love. So because we love them, and we may not know exactly how to do it, we now and follow the Bible instructions on how love will handle difficult people. And now watch this, because there's an addendum to this. We not just follow the Bible instructions, but you're going to see in a moment that Jesus gives us an example on how to deal with difficult people. I mean, he had difficult people. But watch this now. This love thing is really important. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, keeping the instructions on how to deal with other people is the key after the love motive, to handling difficult people. He that says, I know God, and doesn't keep the commandments is a liar. Phew. The truth, look at this, the truth is not in him. Well, the proof of a genuine follower of the Lord is we do what he says, right? But whoso keeps the word, in him there, now watch this, because as we follow the Bible instructions, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and that's how we know we're in him. We're going to love difficult people. And then we're going to follow the instructions on how to do that, the love instructions. You see, the commandments are not grievous to us. We like the commandments because the commandments of God have been so misrepresented. They are, in fact, let me tell you what they are. The commandments of God are the stepping stones to do that, to achieve the success we wish. They are the guidance system to show us the right way. All right, so watch this now. So he that says, I am following and keeping the commandments, ought himself, and this is a big word also, so to walk even as Jesus walked. So now we've got the instructions, we've got the right motive, we've got the instructions, and we have the example of Jesus on how to handle difficult people. Now, here's an issue. There are some difficult people we like more than other difficult people. We tolerate some more than others. But see, love isn't like that, see? God has no, he doesn't put one nation above a nation, one nationality above a nationality, none gender above another gender. There's no respect of persons, no. No elevated of one person over another. We treat everybody the right way all the time. And that's why he comes along. And why is this now? He says, love your enemies. Ooh, the guy who gives you the most difficulty. And what else should you do with him? Do good. Lend him a helping hand. Don't ask for him to give you a helping hand back again. And if you do this, look at this, your reward shall be great. Wow, this is amazing. These promises are for you. Watch here now. And you should be called the children of the highest. Now watch this. Because we are like God, and he is kind unto the unthankful and even to the evil. You've got difficult people who are not grateful for what you are or have said or done for them. What should you do? Most people say, if that's all the thanks I get, see if I ever do that again. Wrong. Wrong. God is kind, even to the unthankful. And look at this, even unto the evil. And that's an important ingredient on learning how to handle difficult people. Look beyond their fault to see their need. Remember, back of their difficulty is a brokenness. Huh? Love them. Love them. Choose the highest good for them. And watch this. Even if they're unthankful, and even if they're evil, and also you want to be merciful to them, just like your Father is merciful. That's how you want to deal with difficult people. Here's Peter, open his mouth. Of a truth, God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't treat one person better than another, one gender better than another, one nationality better than another, one race better than another. No, not at all. No discrimination with God. And so it is with us in dealing with difficult people. We can't choose to be nice to some and not nice to others. We've got to have the same standards all the time, just like God does. Kind, even unto the thankful. Kind, even if they're evil, and kind and merciful, no matter how difficult it had been. I know this is revolutionary. It's so out of step with the culture, with the natural inclinations to retaliate and be. So watch this now. See if you can grasp this. There are three kinds of people. There are those who return good for good and evil for evil. Okay, if somebody's good to them, they'll be good back. And if they're evil, they'll be evil back. There are some people who will return evil for good. Even though you do them good, they'll do you evil. But then there's this third group, the you and I group. And we return good for evil. That's the category you want to be in. Now, before you do anything with a difficult person, you need to slow down and think it through. You need to contemplate in advance. Look at the scripture. Get quiet. Don't react. Slow down. Isolate yourself if you have to. Insulate yourself. Regulate yourself. Get yourself calmed down. Watch this now. And in that place of calmness, this is what we do. We study to give them the right response. No knee-jerk reaction. No reaction at all. Rather, calm, cool, collected, composed, thought through based on our love for them, the commandments given to us, the example of Jesus. And so in that place of calmness, we ask ourselves, what's the right thing to do? What does love look like to this person? Do you remember some of the things about love? Slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. So the heart of those who want to do right, study to answer. In contrast to this, the mouth of the wicked, he just dumps stuff out. He doesn't know any better because he's driven by a wickedness. What is wickedness here about? And if there are so many definitions, but certainly one who is not loving towards others is wicked. So we go to the stillness, we contemplate in advance. And look at the scripture instruction. Let every man, now look at this. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Okay? Listen first. Listen, listen. Ask questions. Draw them out. Listen. Swift to hear. Most of us are too ready to talk instead of listen. Listen and then be slow to speak. And now look at this, slow to wrath. What is this wrath? Here's the definition of it. Wrath is being provoked to a negative reaction. So, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be provoked to a negative reaction. So that's why we go to the stillness. Now here's the truth. The wrath of man does not do what is right according to God. And so what is wrath? It is to react. Is to exert a response equal to the one received. So somebody is nasty to you, wrath is being nasty back. But we don't do that. Do you really want other people to be able to push your button and reduce you to what they are? Mean, obstinate, obnoxious even. This is so delightful, my friends. Because now you're in control. Nobody can cause you. Nobody can push your button. Nobody can provoke you to react like them. It wasn't too long ago I talked to a young man who was complaining about his father. And the truth was, he'd become just like his father. Just as mean, just as ugly. His father should not have been that way either. We can never allow other people to reduce us to their brokenness. So we contemplate in advance in the stillness. Another definition of react is to respond in kind to that which you received. They're nasty, be nasty back. Doesn't work. It does not have a good result to it. The wrath of man does not work the rightness that God wants in any given situation. Now, here's a big one. We must avoid an opponent structure. Now watch this. Let me talk to you about this for a moment. The opponent structure only works in a courtroom. And the reason, now watch this, in the courtroom there's a prosecutor and there's a defender. This is the opponent structure. One guy who's against you, one guy who's for you. And the bad guy, the prosecutor's going to tell how bad you are, the defender's going to justify what you did, and there's this contest in the courtroom. This is an opponent structure. Now, the reason it works in a courtroom is two reasons. One, there's a judge who sets the rules of what you can do and not do, say and not say, admit and not admit. There's a regulator, a judge. Secondly, there's a jury of your peers, somebody who's going to listen to this opposition ideas and decide what the outcome should be. In personal relationships, it does not work. How do we know that? So let's look at the monitor again. Put them in remembrance and charge them before God Almighty, look at this, that they strive not about words to no profit. Watch this now. Because this strife, this opponent structure, subverts the hearers. Yo. So watch here now. This is not a good idea. Watch here. Because he's going to say something, she's going to say something, he's going to. And what do we get? We get escalation. And the outcome is never good. We must always avoid the opponent structure because, remember, we love them. So what does that mean? It means we're on their side, even if they're not on their own side. So let's look at this scripture now. Foolish, unlearned questions, no, avoid them. You just don't go there. Just don't go there. Why? Because stupid ideas and unlearned questions, they gender strife. They create strife. And we know that a servant of the Lord must not strive. Now watch this. Because the opposite of striving is to be gentle unto all of these broken, difficult people. It goes on. But before we go there, let me just be gentle. Must not get into this strife, but be gentle. Gentle. I remember Brit Hume, quote him often. He said, everybody you know is fighting battles you don't know. So be nice. Let's go back to this now. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. able to explain. You don't get to explain unless you're asked for an explanation. You've got to be able to explain. And then you need to be patient. Look at this now. And in meekness, the lack of anger, the lack of agenda, instructing those, what an interesting phrase, those that oppose themselves. People are fighting internally with themselves. They have not settled the issues. So we must avoid the opponent structure. Interesting. Let me go back to the screen one more time. Not strive, gentle, able to teach, patient, and if you're given a chance with the right attitude, instructing those that oppose themselves, then what will be the result? That they may recover themselves out of their brokenness, out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You say, well, preacher, you believe in the devil? One guy said, I believe in the big devil because I see so many little devils. Watch this now. We must never forget this. That there are two opposing forces in the entire world. God for good and the devil for bad. He is accompanied by a host of spirits. And what do they want to do? They want to destroy you. They want to mess with you. They want to pull you down. And people, you see, watch this now. Because if the devil can keep you addicted to some form of brokenness, where you self-destruct, he can go on with somebody else. You've already lost. That's why you, my friend, and I must learn how to handle difficult people. Avoid the opponent structure. Remember, a reaction to them does not do what's right. No ego contest, no one-upmanship. No one-upmanship, no one-man-upmanship. I got it backwards, but you know what I'm talking about. No exercising, don't act like you're superior. Avoid the opponent structure. And now, we're close to the finish, but I want you not to miss this. We are proactively gentle with these difficult people, broken people. And kind and compassionate. And it is this compassion, the scripture says, some that have compassion, they make a big difference in somebody else's life. What does that mean? It means when you have compassion, it means that you're moved by the distress of another person with a desire and an intent to relieve it. This is what Jesus was like, remember? He looked at the multitudes, was moved with compassion, saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Oh, listen to the pathos in his voice. Oh, how oft I would have gathered thee in my arms like a hen doth gather a chicken, but you would not. Compassion. So we deal with difficult people in an absolutely not normal to our culture style. We return good for evil. We're proactively gentle, kind. Oh, be kind, be kind, be kind. Something needs to happen in all of us between the cradle and the grave that turns us into ladies and gentlemen. This is an interesting verse. What makes a man desirable? How big his muscles are? How tall he is? How smart he is? How educated he is? Not. It's whether he's kind or not. You don't measure a man by putting a tape measure around his chest or his biceps, but around his heart. So we love, and we suffer long, and we're kind back to the one who's the cause of the suffering. No bitterness, no wrath, no anger, no clamor, no evil speaking. Put it all away from you with all malice. Look at this now. And be kind one to another. Look at this now. Be tender-hearted. Forgive them, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are proactively gentle, kind, and compassionate. And in closing, if we speak, we speak peacefully. No irritation, no hostility, no aggravation, no accusation. We speak peacefully. For the Lord told us to depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue peace. And that's why I want to recommend to you the importance of learning more about this. For the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We must learn to speak peacefully. And so you can get this teaching called The Joy. 10 joys that come from speaking peacefully. In fact, I have another teaching called The Power of Genuine Peace. And then there's one, Footsteps to Genuine Peace. We've got a whole bunch for you. You can go to our website at nothingbutthetruth.org and you'll find these teachings there, as well, of course, as on our YouTube team. Today, our subject has been how to handle difficult people the Bible way. I hope this will help you.